I'd like to look at a chapter in the Old Testament that illustrates what our hymn was about, and I believe brings comfort to our hearts as believers. The hymn we began the meeting with said, once we stood in condemnation and were in an entirely new position before God. But our brother read that verse in Corinthians about the things that happened beforehand, that we through comfort and hope, through the things that happened to them, might have comfort and hope. And so the Lord would use these illustrations in the Old Testament to help us to understand truths in the New Testament, because all of this was anticipated. And certainly our hymn suggested to us Romans chapter 8 of the position in which we now stand before God in an entirely new position. And I was just thinking of a chapter in Joshua, but before we turn there, I would just like to turn to a verse in Hebrews chapter 4, because we spoke of fear in the meeting and what the ground of this comfort is. Let us therefore, the first verse, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Well, Paul is really referring to an incident here in Hebrews in connection with the history of the children of Israel. And they were to fear, and we are to fear, lest we come short of the promise because of unbelief. And, you know, after they had not listened to Paul on that voyage in Acts, after a long time, Paul stood forth and he said, "Be of good cheer, I believe God." And that will bring comfort to our hearts, and that really is why we get distraught, whether as to the condition of our soul, or whether as to condition of our circumstances, or in the assembly, or as those two on the road to Emmaus going away from the place that the Lord had told them to be. They were discouraged in their hearts, and the Lord had to upbraid them because of their unbelief. And that is the root of our failure. I never knew Harry Hayhoe personally, but I understand he said that often, is that all our failure, whether saint or sinner, stems from unbelief in the goodness that is in the heart of God. And we need to labor to enter into His rest, that is to believe what God has said. And if we turn back to this chapter in Joshua, I think it's very lovely, because it typically illustrates to us that passage from Romans 7 to Romans 8, Joshua chapter 3, without commenting on every verse of it, I believe that it helps us to see what the Lord is doing and really brings the person of Christ before us. If we turn back to the early chapters of Deuteronomy, we'll realize that the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, and as our brother was referring to in the reading meeting, and any of us who have been there, realize that really it is a pleasant land, and especially where the children of Israel were in the land of Goshen, the palm trees and the cool breezes in the evening and the river. But it was a land of slavery. And so God was going to bring them out of that, and it was the Passover that delivered them from Egypt. And when He saw the blood, He passed over them. And there was a question of faith, because it was not their estimation of the blood, but His. And so it's not my estimation of the value of the blood, but it's God's estimation of the value of the blood that gives it its value. And so the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so when there's settled peace to God's estimation of the blood of Christ, then faith simply believes what God has said. But there they were, if I may put it that way, the blood was there, but they were still in Egypt. And so they had another experience in a typical sense, and I think these things are familiar to us, but in a typical sense, the Lord had to take them out through the Red Sea to separate them from Egypt. And so, just as we sing that song, "Jehovah lifted up His rod, O Christ, it fell on Thee," that we realize that Christ suffered the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That's what He's really trying to do. He's trying to bring us into fellowship with Himself. And Moses, really as the minister of the law, He lifted up his rod and the waters were parted. But if you can imagine, if you were one of those children of Israel, it was like our experience, I believe, if we look back to the time, if we remember when we were saved, that it was just like that. We were walking right through. There was a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other side. And we were very conscious of the danger that we were in. And it's a good thing. People go on carelessly, not realizing the Egyptians barged through these walls of water indifferent to the danger they were in, a wall of water on either side. And so perhaps, I remember as a boy, I realized I was in real danger of hell because of my sins. But then I saw that it was not the judgment fell on me, but it fell on Christ. Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee. And I walked through on dry ground. But there was a consciousness, very real consciousness of the danger I was in. And even as the children of Israel could look back on that scene, they could see the waters crashing around the Egyptians. But I think that we all realize when the church is taken to heaven, that the terrible judgments of God will fall upon those that are not believers, that don't have real faith. They may have tried to follow the same pathway, but there was no faith in connection with it. They were just pursuing the children of Israel. But they got into the wilderness, and there's one little verse that's in brackets in Scripture at the beginning of Deuteronomy, and that is that there is 11 days' journey from Kadesh. I perhaps should just read it. I don't quote Scripture well. It's just in brackets in Scripture, but it says there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. Took them 40 years to take an 11 days' journey. And so now we bring, in our soul's experience, we may for many years be laboring to enter into that rest, but it's by faith. And if we turn to the story in Deuteronomy, we see what happened was that they didn't believe God. There were the 12 spies that went in to spy out the land, and the two, which speaks of adequate testimony, all 12 bore testimony to the fact that it was a good land. If you'd asked any one of those 12, they would have said, it's a good land. But the two encouraged the heart of their brethren, and they said, let's go in. And the other 10, they discouraged the heart of their brethren, and they said, there's giants in the land. And we as Christians may do that. 10 speaks of responsibility. There's 10 commandments. There's 10 fingers on my hands, and it speaks of what we do. And the 10 really speaks of responsibility. The two speak of adequate testimony. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. That was adequate. If nobody else believed what the two or three bore witness to in Matthew 18, it was an established fact as far as God was concerned. And the two that bore testimony to the land before the children of Israel, according to God, it was an established fact. If nobody else among the children of Israel believed it. And in fact, as we know, that every other one besides those two, Joshua, which is Hebrew for Jesus, and Caleb, which is Hebrew for dog, Jesus and the dog, if I may put it that way, that they went in, but all the others died, except for the children. And so it reminds us, except we become as little children, we need faith as a child, just simply to believe and to rest in what God said. We cast down all those adult reasonings and thinkings, and we simply rest and believe what God has said. And so this is really what it means to enter into the rest of God. And so here now we find ourselves in Joshua and Caleb, but Joshua, as a type of Christ, is leading them, who's, as I said, in Hebrew, in Greek, his name is Jesus. In Acts, you get that, you know, Joshua is translated Jesus in the book of Acts. They're there before the river Jordan. 40 years to get 11 days. We'll just see this deliverance, and I'll try to pass over this quickly, the third verse. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove yourself from your place and go after it. And yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Well, this is, to me, is very lovely. I think most of us know that the ark is a picture of Christ, because in one place it says, describes the construction of the ark. And it doesn't even really mention the giving of the law. It just says you're to make this ark and you're to cover it with gold. And he says to Moses, I'll tell you what you're going to put into it. And it was a picture of Christ, that vessel. And he was, of course, that one, as in the first psalm, and meditated in his law night and day, that the law was hid in the heart of the Lord, and he was the pot of manna. And that pot of manna, that the ark was a picture of Christ, and that I can't develop that all right now, but they were to stand back very far. And we need to stand back, brethren, from a great distance, 2,000 years, and see that there's a finished work in connection with our rest. That the battle is finished. The battle was won at the cross. He's overcome. And we need confidence and we need faith to believe that. We find ourselves in the midst of turmoil and battle at work, at home, perhaps in the assembly, and in everywhere. And we need to realize that the battle is finished. He won the battle at the cross. And all we have to do is just to rest in faith as to what he said. And the reason that we get fighting with our brethren and fighting among ourselves and contending, and perhaps there's discord in the home, is because we don't believe God. And simply to act in faith on what God has said will bring us into rest and will bring us into communion with our brethren. That's what a pure heart is simply to believe what God said and to act on the basis of that. And so, as Paul said in Romans, let God be true and every man a liar. That's a pure heart. Not looking around to see how many more people are going to join me. God will take care of that. He will maintain a testimony to the truth. And I'm not just speaking of gathering, but he will maintain a testimony to the truth he did in Israel until the very end. But what we need is confidence to believe God. That's faith, and that itself is a gift of God. But we're to stand back very far. And so it's not anything of our doing. It's not something that I do or I've done, but it's something that's going to be done, and yet I can observe from a distance. And he said, we've never gone this way before. And verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will magnify thee. That is, Joshua as a type of Christ in the sight of all Israel, that ye may know as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, when ye shall come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every man a tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Now, I think we know that water speaks of judgment in Scripture. And they were just this moment that the priests, Christ offered himself to God. But the moment that the priest's feet touched that water, the water was rolled right back. And when the Lord uttered the words on the cross, it is finished, it was finished. Man came into my office at work and with some fanciful idea that the Lord went into hell and suffered for our sins. No, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. I commend my spirit. And to that thief on the cross, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So the thief on the cross, it was a wonderful revelation, you know, because the thief said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. But the Lord revealed something to that thief on the cross because he had faith. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. To be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. He already had a bit of Paul's doctrine, I'd say, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord because he believed what God had said. And so that the moment the Lord uttered those words, he passed. We see he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, is that we learn what death is. It's to be, the Lord was absent from his body and present with his Father. And when a believer passes from this scene, he passes absent from the body to be present with the Lord, just as that thief on the cross, and just as the Lord. His body was laid in the grave, and resurrection, the first fruits, he's the first one of the first resurrection. He took up his body and was raised again, a glorified body in heaven. That's not yet our portion. It will be. But we see that it was finished when the Lord uttered those words. So as soon as the sole of their feet touched that water, the water rolled back into a great heap. And we see in the book of Genesis that all the waters were gathered together into one place. And so the interesting thing that we have here that we don't have in connection with the Red Sea and really answers to our hymn, Once We Stood in Condemnation, is that we'll notice here that it was at a time when the Jordan overflowed its banks at the time of harvest. And so it was at the perfect time of that the Lord suffered for our sins. But let's just look at this 16th verse. That the waters which came down from above and stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Now this is a beautiful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross, because not only did he deal with what I've done, but he dealt with what I was and what we were. You know, you could take a crabapple tree and take all the crabapples off of it, but it would still be a crabapple tree. The Lord could cleanse your sins away, if I may put it this way, but if he didn't change our natures when we got to heaven, we'd still be the same. So, but he's dealt not only with what we've done, but what we are. And so the judgment here was not just a mere dealing with what we'd done, as I think is really seen at the Red Sea, but he's dealing with what we are. And so the waters were rolled right back to the city Adam, right back to the first man, and right down to the salt sea, which is I think the Jordan is a picture of, in a way, of humanity, right down, I believe it's the lowest spot on earth. I think it's 1,000 feet or more below sea level. And so there was no water, no judgment in sight anywhere. They walked clean over. There's many other scriptures to show this, but I think you'll see that if we look, that they went down into the Red Sea, and we don't read of them coming out, but we read of them coming out of the Jordan. And so it's viewed as one complete thing in Scripture, but there was that necessity to stand back very far and to see that Christ is the answer to all that we were in the first man. And so they passed over, it says in verse 17, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And so now they found themselves in Jericho, and that was the real place of their conflict. And that's the real place of our conflict, if I may put it this way, is when we have settled pieces to the work of Christ and full deliverance. And there's many more things, details that we could pick out here, but I just wanted to take up this illustration of what our hymn was speaking of, and really to show that it is really founded on believing what God has said. And there is no comfort if there's unbelief. And so that's why in Hebrews it takes up the question of the Word of God, and so that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and so on. Is it's really that we need to fear lest we be fallen under the same example of unbelief. But when they came out of Jordan, there's many other lovely pictures in connection that with that. They came to Gilgal, and it says that Gilgal then was the reproach that they were slaves in Egypt rolled away. That's what Gilgal means, is rolling away. at Gilgal they could practice self-judgment. That's of which I believe circumcision really is a picture. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Very private thing. We may like to practice self-judgment on each other. But it says, make sharp knives for yourselves. They couldn't do that until they saw that they stood in an uncondemned position before God, that they were delivered as slaves from Egypt. It wasn't possible in the face of Mount Sinai for them to do that. But to realize that our new position, that we stand before God in Christ, accepted in the Beloved, that they had power to do that. And so it goes on, and they were constantly to return to that place of self-judgment. But we really see the entire position into which we've been brought, delivered. Once we stood in condemnation, but now we stand in an entirely new position before God. And it's all by faith. Every blessing of God is laid hold of by faith. And that's where the comfort is, you know. It's to believe God. As Paul said, standing forth, he said, "Sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God."